thing that's happening, and I don't know, perhaps it's always been this way to an extent, but it seems more and more prevalent all the time. I began to notice this when my children were in school, and they would participate in sports. But it seems like that more and more children, and I'll be honest with you, it just makes me sick. I don't know any other way to put it. It just makes me sick. But it seems like that more and more all the time that children are being taught that everything is about winning. Everything is about being the winner. Now, when I was growing up and when I went to school and when I got interested and began to be in sports, we weren't taught that. We really weren't. We were taught that, you know, it has a lot to do with how you play the game. Go out there and do your best and don't worry so much, but it seems like that kids are pushed so much. Win. Go out and win. That's what it's all about, winning. And so when you think about that, when you think about winning, and this is the way I want to try to begin this message today, when we think about it from a natural standpoint, if you were going to compete in an athletic contest, be it a race or a game or whatever that you are going to compete in, but let's just use, for example, a race. If you were going to run a race and someone were you were to talk to someone and you were to tell them that your objective was to try to be the winner of the race, and they were to ask you, well, how do you plan to accomplish that? I'm sure you wouldn't say, well, I'm going to make sure that I'm the last one to cross the finish line. Your objective would be to cross it first. If you were wanting to win the race, it would be your objective to cross it first. But what I want to talk to you about today is the Bible teaches us that there is a way that we win by losing. And that's what I want to speak to you about today. Being a winner by losing. The Apostle Paul spoke about that here in these verses where I want to read from third chapter of Philippians. But I want to say this again before I read, I want to say this. If you're here today and you're lost and without God, if you will come to the Lord today and seek Him and be saved, you're going to be a winner. I mean, you're going to win a prize today that will be like nothing you've ever won in your life or ever will win. But if you're going to win that today, there are some things that you're going to have to lose. And I want to speak to you about that in this message. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop my reading there with those first 12 verses from Philippians chapter 3. Let's go back for just a moment to what Paul said, and we find recorded in the 7th and 8th verse. He said, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." For whom I have suffered the loss. He was talking about Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "For Christ I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now, I believe that I understand, and I may not be able to, certainly as it is with most passages of Scripture, I may not be able to preach this today to its fullest meaning, but I believe I do know what Paul was talking about, and I do know that not only from God's Word, but from my own experience. Because there were things when I sought the Lord to be saved, there were things that it was necessary for me to lose in order that I might win the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be saved, there is a way, and I hope that I'll be able to make this plain to you here today, but if you're ever going to be saved by God's grace, you're going to have to give to get. I'm afraid today that there are too many people, and oftentimes they sit right among us, but I'm afraid today that there are too many people that don't really want to be saved. They may think that they do, or they may have a half-hearted desire to be saved, but when it comes right down to it, they don't really want to be saved. And I believe that that's proven to us in the Scriptures, and I'm going to give some examples of that. But I'm going to say this, that it would be my desire, it would certainly be my heart's desire, if you are here today and you are lost, that you would desire salvation above everything else in this life. That you would really want to be saved. I'm going to tell you something that I believe, and I believe that the Bible certainly will back this up and support this. In fact, I believe it because I believe the Bible teaches it. But everybody in the world that really wants to be saved will be saved. The Lord made the way for everybody. He did everything that was necessary in order for people to be saved. He came into the world. He fulfilled all the prophecy concerning Himself. He died on the cross. He there shed His blood for the remission of sins. He rose from the dead. While he was in the world, he instituted the organization that would carry the gospel to people. After Christ left, the Holy Spirit of God came like a rushing mighty wind upon his church and empowered her and has been with her ever since. Don't tell me today there's no power in the churches. There's still power in God's churches today. We may not experience it sometime because we quench the Spirit, but the power is still with the church. The Lord promised that if we would walk in His ways, that He would always be with us. And I certainly believe that He's still with us today. God has done everything necessary in order for people to be saved. And the reason that people miss it is they just don't really want it. Now, you may not believe that today, but I do. I believe that everybody, as I said, everybody that is truly saved by God's grace, or everybody that truly wants to be saved by God's grace today, they'll have it. If you really want it, you're going to have it. All of those that have already died and gone on, they just didn't really want it. The Apostle Paul was a very religious man. And we don't, sometimes I think that people don't think in these terms. I think there are many people in the world today that don't think in this way, but their problem is today is that their religion is standing between them and God. That's what was happening with Paul. His religion was standing between him and God, and his religious beliefs were hindering him from being saved. And that's exactly what he admitted in these verses. He spoke about what he had been in the past. He said, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. In fact, he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. When it come to things concerning the law, I was blameless. Was Paul saying he was perfect? No. But he was saying he was above reproach when it came to the law. Paul was saying, you know, the average person couldn't look at me and say, well, he messed up here or he messed up there. Paul kept the law. He observed the Jewish law to the point that he said, I was blameless in it. And that was what he was depending upon. That was what he believed would buy him favor with God, would justify him before God, that he was those things, that he was a Pharisee, that he was the keeper of the law. But I'll tell you what, I believe when the Lord got a hold of him that day out there on the road to Damascus, Paul realized there, God made it known unto him that those things weren't going to save him. Now, I'm convinced that that's what he was talking about when he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And so here Paul was all wrapped up in this. He was all wrapped up. He was wrapped up in his Pharisaic beliefs. He was very zealous in them. And he was going about to try to keep the law and try to do everything that he thought was required of him to do in order to be justified for God, before God, and he came to realize that those were the very things that he needed to lose in order that he might win. Folks, listen. God, in His Word, God has taught us and told us very plainly and very simply the way of salvation. And there's only one way. There's only one way. All of us today, some shouted and some rejoiced outwardly. But many of us today, no doubt, when we sang that song, "He Touched Me," thought about our own experience, and we were blessed in our soul thinking about that. But listen, there may be, and there no doubt is, we could begin today. Those of us that are here today that have been saved by God's grace, we could begin today to tell our experience, and you would find that we were saved under all different types of circumstances. Some of us were saved in the home that we lived in. Some were saved stretched out across their bed. Some saved in a fence row. You would find through our testimonies that we were saved in all different places under all different circumstances. But I'll tell you what, everybody that's been truly saved, we've all got the same thing, and we got it all the same way. Every one of us. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. And nobody comes to the Father but by Him. And so there are many people, as I said, in the world today. They're trying many other ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus is the way, and He taught there another time in the Scriptures when we read about Jesus standing and talking to a man that was a part of this same religious group that Paul was part of. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He believed the same things that Paul believed, and Jesus told that religious man there that day, "You must be born again." Folks, listen, you have got to be born again if you're going to have eternal life. There is no other way. It's sad the things that people will allow to stand in their way. And I'm going to tell you exactly what Paul said here. I think you all understand it, but Paul said, basically, he said, those things that I thought were so important to me, I counted them as manure that I might win Christ, that I might be saved. Counted them but dung. They didn't mean anything to him anymore. That's about the way he looked at them, as a big pile of dung. He said, those things don't mean anything. I can remember that, folks. I can relate to that in my heart. With me, it wasn't religious beliefs. The things that I was raised up in a missionary Baptist church, and I was taught these things that we are still teaching today. So for me, it wasn't some other type of religious belief that I had, but it was pride, and it was arrogance, and it was the desire for things that I had in this life, the desire to be a worldly person, the desire to accomplish worldly things that kept me for a while, kept me away from seeking the Lord and surrendering to Him in order that I might be saved. And I can relate to what this brother said this morning. That was the same age that I was. I was 18 when the Lord saved my soul. But I remember so many times listening to the devil and listening to his lies and listening to him tell me things like, oh, if you seek the Lord and get saved, you're not going to fit in anymore with the group of kids that you want to run around with. You're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. Just tell me lie after lie after lie, and I would listen to him. My desire for fame and fortune and worldly living and things of that nature, those were my riches. Those were my riches. But I'll tell you what, I'll never forget this. As long as I lived, the night that God saved my soul, I let go of every bit of it. There was nothing that meant any more to me in that moment. In that moment when I was calling upon the name of the Lord, there was nothing that meant any more to me than finding peace with God. And all those things that I have thought were so important, when the Lord spoke peace to my soul that night, all of those things, I can relate to what Paul was saying here about his religious beliefs, because all of those things that I had thought were so important to me, boy, I realized in that moment they were but dung. They didn't mean a thing. They didn't mean nearly what I had thought that they meant. And I lost them. Brother Ronnie, I lost them there that night. But I came away a winner. You know, that's what we do when we repent. You may not understand it completely, or you may not think about it even completely at the time when it's happening, but that's exactly what we do when we repent. And the Bible, God rather, has commanded all men everywhere to repent. The Bible tells us that God has commanded that of all men. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that's exactly what we do when we repent. We turn away from everything by the help of God. Repentance is a change of the attitude of the heart and mind in a person, whereby the grace of God, we turn away from everything. We turn away from self. We turn away from sin. We turn away from everything that we think means anything to us. And we turn to God. We turn to God. You may not fully understand it, but when you repented of your sins, that's exactly what you did. You turned away from everything. I've heard so many testimonies in my life. In the last close to 30 years that I've been preaching, will be 30 years this next spring, places I've pastored, revivals I've been in, I've heard so many people stand up and testify of the grace of God in their lives, of their experience of salvation. And you know, I've heard, as I said a moment ago, I've heard a lot of people tell a lot of different experiences about being saved in a lot of different places. I think I told you one time, I know a man that got saved way down below water in the ocean, in a submarine he got saved. I've heard testimonies of people getting saved under all different types of circumstances, but I have never yet heard anybody say, you know, when the Lord saved my soul, I didn't want it at all. We wanted it, didn't we? I've never heard anybody testify, I didn't want God, I didn't want to have anything to do with Him, but God forced His salvation upon me. It doesn't work that way. Folks, if you don't want it, you're not going to have it. Paul was willing to let go of everything, to lose everything that he thought was so important to him. We read in the 19th chapter of Matthew about that rich young ruler. And you know, truly the main point of that account is that he did not want salvation. You know what he wanted? He wanted to hang on to his riches. He came to Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus, after his conversation with him about the law, he said, all these things have I done. What do I yet lack? And Jesus said, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. And it says the young man went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. You know what his problem was? Essentially, it can be summed up in just these few words. He wanted the things of this world more than he wanted salvation. He didn't really want to be saved. You know, if you find somebody that really wants something, let's just, I mean, many things in life. If you find somebody that really wants to be a good, a champion bowler, I mean, they want to be able to bowl the best game that anybody can bowl. You know where you'll find them? At the bowling alley. I mean, that's where you'll find them. You'll find them there. They'll be throwing that ball up and down. I mean, they'll be working towards what they have to do in order to obtain it. If you want somebody that wants to be the fastest runner in the world, you know where you'll find them? You'll find them somewhere out running. They'll be working towards that. They'll be putting in the effort to do what they have to do in order to achieve their goal. And if you, somebody that really wants to be saved, I mean, folks, if they really want to be saved, you know where you'll find that person? You'll find them seeking the Lord for salvation. There's a dear sister. She's a member of Pleasant Valley Missionary Baptist Church, where I pastored for several years. And I'll never forget her testimony as long as I live. She was raised under different beliefs. And she said when she realized that she was lost, when she realized that the things that she had been taught were not right, when she realized that she needs salvation, she said, I began to seek the Lord. And she said, I just prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed at home. She said, every church service we had, can you imagine this? She said, every time I came to church, every time that I was in church, she said, I came to the mourner's bench and I prayed before God until the day that He spoke peace to my soul. She said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed until God saved my soul. You know what she convinced me of? She wanted it. She wanted it. I want to ask you this today. Do you really want it? If you really want to find it, you're going to have to be willing to seek for it. Jesus made a great promise to those that seek. Seek, ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Are you, preacher, are you saying, I've got to come to the mourner's bench? No, I'm telling you that you've got to seek the Lord. If you want to come here, that's fine. But I'm telling you that if you're going to find the Lord, you're going to have to seek the Lord, and you're going to have to seek Him diligently. You're going to have to seek Him with all of your heart. You're not going to be able to just say, well, you know, I went to the altar once for 10 minutes, and I stayed there, and I didn't get anything, so I guess... No, you've got to seek the Lord until you find Him. And those that want it, that's what they do. Seek the Lord until you find Him. That young man, there in the 19th chapter of Matthew, he may have come to Jesus and he may have expressed an interest in what he would have to do to have eternal life. But I'm here to tell you today, he didn't really want it. If he really wanted it, when the Lord told him to go sell all that he had and give it to the poor, that man would have said, all right, absolutely, I'll do it. And he would have started on his way, and I'm convinced the Lord would have saved him right then and there. If that would have been in his, what was in his heart, he would have saved him. He would have never made it to literally sell all that he had. You know, the Lord knows your heart today. He knows your heart. I had to lose my life in order to gain eternal life. I had to give up everything. If there's anything that's more important to you than being saved, then you don't really want it. Now you may think that's harsh, but that's what the Bible teaches me. If there's anything that's more important to you, then you don't really want salvation. You want the things of the world. You want to hang on to that. That means more to you. But if you are willing to give it up, to come to the Lord, to make a full and complete surrender, because it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. To just give it to the Lord, count it but loss, that you may win the Lord, then friend, you can be saved. You can be saved. God will have to help you to do that. But if you'll humble your heart before Him and desire salvation, He will help you. God will help you. He will help you to turn to Him and be saved. So I want us to have a song. I want to